Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Today, let's get back to Bowser the Hound, written by Thornton W. Burgess. Today, we will read chapters 16 to 20. That means we are about halfway done with the book. In case you haven't looked at the table of contents, there are 42 chapters in the book. Hopefully you have been enjoying this book as we are working our way through it. And while I was working on this intro, it dawned on me that next month is reading month, so maybe I will try to read another book. What do you think, John? Should I do it? If I do, what book should I read? I'll tell you later what he requests. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 16. Why Reddy Went Without a Chicken Dinner. A dinner is far better lost than eaten at too great a cost. Bowser the Hound. Can you imagine Reddy Fox with a chicken dinner right before him and not touching it? Well, that is just what happened in Farmer Brown's henhouse. It wasn't because Reddy had no appetite. He was hungry, very hungry. He always is in winter. Then it doesn't often happen that he gets enough to eat at one meal to really fill his stomach. Yet here he was with a chicken dinner right before him, and he didn't touch it. You see, it was this way. Reddy's wits were working very fast there in Farmer Brown's henhouse. He knew that he had only a forlorn chance of escaping when Farmer Brown's boy should come to open the henhouse in the morning. He knew that he must make the most of that forlorn chance. He knew that freedom is 1,000 times better than a full stomach. On one of the lower roosts sat a fat hen. She was within easy jumping distance. Reddy knew that with one quick spring, she would be his. If the henyard gate had been open, he would have wasted no time in making that one quick spring. But the henyard gate, as you know, was closed fast. "I'm awfully hungry," muttered Reddy to himself, "but if I should catch and eat that fat hen, Farmer Brown's boy would be sure to notice the feathers on the floor the very minute he opened the door." "It won't do, Reddy, it won't do. You can't afford to have the least little thing seem wrong in this henhouse. What you've got to do is to swallow your appetite and keep quiet in the darkest corner you can find." So Reddy Fox spent the rest of the night curled up in the darkest corner, partly behind a box. All the time, his nose was filled with the smell of fat hens. Every little while, a hen who had been crowded too much on the roost would stir uneasily and protest in a sleepy voice. Just think of what Reddy suffered. Just think how you would feel to be very, very hungry and have right within reach the one thing you like best in all the world to eat and then not dare to touch it. Some foolish folks in Reddy's place would have eaten that dinner and trusted to luck to get out of trouble later, but Reddy was far too wise to do anything of the kind. Doing as Reddy did that night is called exercising self-restraint. Everybody should be able to do it, but it sometimes seems as if very many people cannot do it. Anyway, they don't do it, and because they don't do it, they are forever getting into trouble. Reddy knew when morning came, although the henhouse was still dark. Somehow or other, hens always know just when jolly, round, red Mr. Sun kicks his blankets off and begins his daily climb up in the blue, blue sky. The big rooster on the topmost perch stretched his long neck, flapped his wings, and crowed at the top of his voice. Reddy shivered. It won't be long now before Farmer Brown's boy comes, thought he. Chapter 17. Farmer Brown's boy drops a pan of corn. Who, when surprised, keeps calm and cool is one most difficult to fool. Bowser the Hound. In his lifetime, Reddy Fox has spent many anxious moments, but none more anxious than those in which he waited for Farmer Brown's boy to open the henhouse and feed the biddies on this particular morning. From the moment when the big rooster on the topmost perch stretched forth his neck, flapped his wings, and crowed as only he can crow, Reddy was on pins and needles, as the saying is. Hiding behind a box in the darkest corner of the henhouse, he hardly dared to breathe. You see, he didn't want those hens to discover him. He knew that if they did, they would make such a racket that they would bring Farmer Brown's boy hurrying out to find out what the trouble was. Reddy had had experience with hens before. He knew that if Farmer Brown's boy heard them making a great racket, he would know that something was wrong, and he would come all prepared. This was the one thing that Reddy did not want. His one chance to escape would be to take Farmer Brown's boy entirely by surprise. Never had time dragged more slowly. The hens were awake, and several of them flew down to the floor of the henhouse. They passed so close to where Reddy was hiding. that merely by reaching out a black paw, he could have touched them. Because he took particular pains not to move, not even to twitch a black ear, they did not see him. Anyway, if they did see him, they took no notice of him. How the moments did drag. All the time he lay there listening, wishing that Farmer Brown's boy would come, yet dreading to have him come. It seemed ages before he heard sounds which told him that people were awake in Farmer Brown's house. Finally, he heard a distant door slam. Then he heard a whistle, a merry whistle. It drew nearer and nearer. Farmer Brown's boy was coming to feed the hens. Reddy tried to hold his breath. He heard the click of the henyard gate as Farmer Brown's boy opened it. Then he heard the crunch, crunch, crunch of Farmer Brown's boy's feet on the snow. Suddenly, the henhouse door was thrown open and Farmer Brown's boy stepped inside. In his hands, he held a pan filled with the breakfast he had brought for the hens. Suddenly, a box in the darkest corner of the henhouse moved. Farmer Brown's boy turned to look, and as he did so, a slim form dashed fairly between his legs. It startled him so that he dropped the pan and spilled the corn all over the henhouse floor. "Great Scott!" he exclaimed. "What under the sun was that?" and rushed to the door to see. He was just in time to get a glimpse of a red coat and a bushy tail disappearing around a corner of the barn. Chapter 18. Mutual Relief. The wise fox knows that with every chicken he steals, he puts an increased price on his own skin. Bowser the Hound. When Reddy Fox dashed between the legs of Farmer Brown's boy and ran out of the open door of the henhouse, it was with his heart in his mouth. At least, it seemed that way. Would he find the henyard gate open? Supposing Farmer Brown's boy had closed it after he entered. Reddy would then be a prisoner, just as he had been all night, and all hope would end. Just imagine with what terrible anxiety and eagerness Reddy looked towards that gate as he dashed out of the open door. Just imagine the relief that was his when he saw that the gate was open. In that very instant, the snowy outside world became more beautiful and wonderful than ever it had been in all his life before. He was free, free, free. If ever there was a surprised boy, that boy was Farmer Brown's as he watched Reddy twist around a corner of the barn and disappear. "Reddy Fox!" he exclaimed. "Now how under the sun did that rascal get in here?" Then, as he realized that Reddy had actually been inside the henhouse, anxiety for the biddies swept over him. Hastily he turned, fully expecting to see either the bodies of two or three hens on the floor or scattered feathers to show that Reddy had enjoyed a midnight feast. There were no feathers, and so far as he could see, all the hens were standing or walking about. At once, Farmer Brown's boy began to count them. Of course, he knew exactly how many there should be. When he got through counting, not one was missing. Farmer Brown's boy was puzzled. He counted them again. Then he counted them a third time. He began to think there must be something wrong with this counting. After the fourth count, however, he was forced to believe that not a single one was missing. If Reddy Fox had been relieved when he discovered that henyard gate open, Farmer Brown's boy was equally relieved when he found that not a single biddy had been taken. When two people are relieved at the same time, it is called mutual relief. But there was this difference between Reddy Fox and Farmer Brown's boy. Reddy knew all about what had happened, and Farmer Brown's boy couldn't even guess. He went all around that henhouse, trying to find a way by which Reddy Fox had managed to get in. Of course, he discovered that the little sliding door where the biddies go in and out of the henhouse was open. He guessed that this was the way by which Reddy had entered. But this didn't explain matters at all. He knew that the gate had been latched when he entered the henyard that morning. How had Reddy managed to get into that henyard with that gate closed? To this day, Farmer Brown's boy is still wondering. Chapter 19. Where was Bowser the Hound? A good hound never barks on a cold trail. Bowser the Hound. Where was Bowser the Hound? That was the question which was puzzling all the little people who knew him. Also, it was puzzling Farmer Brown's boy and Farmer Brown and Mrs. Brown. I have said that it was puzzling all the little people who knew him. This is not quite true, because there were two who could at least guess what had become of Bowser. One was Old Man Coyote, who had, as you remember, led Bowser far away and got him lost. The other was Blacky the Crow, who had discovered Bowser in his trouble and had helped him. Old Man Coyote didn't know exactly where Bowser was, and he wasn't interested enough to think much about it. He hoped that Bowser had been so badly lost that he would never return. Blacky the Crow knew exactly where Bowser was, but he kept it to himself. It pleases Blacky to have a secret which other people would give much to know. Blacky is one of those people who can keep a secret. He isn't at all like Peter Rabbit. Reddy Fox was one who was very much interested in the fate of Bowser the Hound. As day after day went by and Bowser did not appear, Reddy had a growing hope that he would never appear. "I can't imagine what Old Man Coyote could have done to Bowser," said Reddy to himself. "He certainly couldn't have killed Bowser in a fight, for the old rascal would never in the world dare face Bowser the Hound in a fight. But he certainly has caused something to happen to Bowser. If that bothersome dog never returns, it certainly will make things a lot easier for Granny Fox and myself." As for Farmer Brown's boy, he was as much puzzled as any of the little people, and a whole lot more worried. He drove all around the neighborhood, asking at every house if anything had been seen of Bowser. Nowhere did he get any trace of him. No one had seen him. It was very mysterious. Farmer Brown's boy had begun to suspect that Bowser had met with an accident somewhere off in the woods and had been unable to get help. It made Farmer Brown's boy very sad indeed. His cheery whistle was no longer heard, for he did not feel like whistling. At last, he quite gave up hope of ever again seeing Bowser. Chapter 20. Where Bowser Was. When things are at their very worst, as bad you think as they can be, just lay aside your feeling sad, the road ahead may turn, you see. Bowser the Hound. You remember that Blacky the Crow led poor Bowser to an old road and there left him. Blacky reasoned that if Bowser had any sense at all, he would know that that road must lead somewhere and would follow it. If he didn't have sense enough to do this, he deserved to starve or freeze, was the way Blacky reasoned it out. Of course, Blacky knew exactly where the road would lead. Now Bowser did have sense. Of course he did. The minute he found that road, a great load was taken from his mind. He no longer felt wholly lost. He was certain that all he had to do was to keep in that road, and sooner or later he would come to a house. The one thing that worried him most was whether or not he would have strength enough to keep going until he reached that house. You remember that he was weak from lack of food, lame, and half frozen. Poor old Bowser. He certainly was the picture of misery as he limped along that road. His tail hung down as if he hadn't strength enough to hold it up. His head also hung low. He walked on three legs and limped with one of those. In his eyes was such a look of pain and suffering as would have touched the hardest heart. He whined and whimpered as he limped along. It seemed to him that he had gone a terribly long distance, though really it was not far at all, when something tickled his nose, that wonderful nose which can smell the tracks of others long after they have passed. But this time, it wasn't the smell of a track that tickled his nose. It was something in the air. Bowser lifted his head and sniffed long and hard. What he smelled was smoke. He knew what that meant. Somewhere not very far ahead of him was a house. With new hope and courage, Bowser tried to hurry on. Presently, around a turn of the road, he saw a farmyard. The smell of the smoke from the chimney of the farmhouse was stronger now, and with it was mingled an appetizing smell of things cooking. Into Bowser's whimper, there now crept a little note of eagerness as he dragged himself across the farmyard and up to the back door. There, his strength quite left him. He didn't have enough left to even bark. All he could do was whine. After what seemed a long, long time, the door opened, and a motherly woman stood looking down at him. 2 minutes later, Bowser lay on a mat close by the kitchen stove.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Grapes, and the audio clips were provided by NASA. For more information, to contact us, or to download podcast extras, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com. Also, if you haven't done so, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.